Within about 12 months after Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile record, about a dozen other guys had done it. All of a sudden, it was like, okay, it can be done. And then everybody thought, well, it can be done. I just want to be the next one to do it. It's like climbing Mount Everest. You have had experiences in your life that could be barrier-busting, inspirational, motivating to other people if you're willing to share it.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we enter the home stretch in a series called Shaped to Make a Difference. In these teachings, Pastor Rick uses the acrostic SHAPE, your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences, to talk about the way God wired you and why you need not to just know your SHAPE, but use it to do the things God made you to do. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the DVD and workbook study kit for this life-changing series. This extremely popular video version of our series, Shaped to Make a Difference, is a great way to be a blessing to your family, friends, or small group. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Employing Your Experience.
Have you not figured out from your experiences yet that Jesus is with you and in you if you've invited him into your life? If you haven't, you're not keeping a record of where your life's headed. And you need to go back and examine and test and evaluate. What does that mean? You take some time to review the experiences of your life. And what do you look for? You look for benefits, patterns, and lessons. You look for benefits. What did I really enjoy in my life? And you go back and you don't just say, well, I really enjoyed that job. You go, what was it about that job that I really loved? That'll help you understand your shape. And you don't say, I really liked that class. You go, what exactly about that class did I like that was so fulfilling to me? And you'll get little clues about where you should be headed with your life and the shape of where you should be. If you don't examine your experiences, they have no value to you. You look for patterns, and particularly you want to look for patterns in your failure, because when you fail, you do it the same way every time. And so you look at things, well, now where have I failed in the past? And you don't look at it to beat yourself up, oh, poor me. You do it so you can go, I want to be different. What are the patterns that I keep doing over and over and over? And as the old cliche goes, those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. This is the problem with the Israelites. They were freed from 400 years of slavery. They're coming to the promised land. They're crossing the Sinai Peninsula, and it takes them 40 years. Why? This trip should only take them 4 weeks. It took them 40 years. Why? Because they've refused to learn the experiences, the lessons that they needed to learn. And so God would give them a test, and they'd blow it, and they'd forget. So he'd go, okay, one more lap around the desert. And then they'd have another test. Okay, one more lap around the desert. And they did it 7 times, and it took them 40 years to take something that should have never taken that long. You want to look for the lessons. Notice this next verse. The Bible says in Job 32:7, the longer you live, read it with me, the wiser you become. Now, friends, that verse is a possibility, not a promise. I know a lot of people who are old who are dumb. So wisdom does not automatically come with age. That's a possibility, not a promise. You see, maturity is when you extract meaning from the everyday experiences of life. That's what it means to be mature. You're able to look at the things in your life, the normal everyday things, and go, ah, I got that. Other people just go through life never ever examining. As Socrates says, the unexamined life isn't worth living. So treat every experience as an education. You go, what can I learn from this? And the amazing thing about the school of experience is two things. One, if you fail the test, it's okay. You get to take it over and over and over and over until you pass it. And the second thing about the school of experience is just about the time you think you've graduated, they add another course. And you will be in that school the rest of your life. You embrace your experiences, you extract the lessons, and then number three, you employ them to help others. You employ them to help others. Now, when you finally realize that the purpose of your life is far greater than your own happiness, problems become a whole lot easier to handle. You just look at everything from a different perspective, and you're able to use the experiences of your life, good and bad, to help other people. Paul says, St. Paul in Philippians chapter 1, he's writing to the people in the Greek city of Philippi, and he says this, "I want you to know, my friends, that the things that have happened to me have actually really helped the progress of the gospel." He says, "I want you guys to know that the things that have happened to me are actually, they're beneficial for the ultimate goal, sharing the good news." Now, where is he when he's writing this, and what are the things that have happened to him? He has been captured, taken on ship to Rome, been in a shipwreck, been bitten by a snake, now thrown in prison in a dungeon, cuffed to a 24-hour Roman guard. And he's gone, "Oh, the things that have happened to me have actually caused the good news to be spread further. It's spreading now all over Rome." That's a different perspective. He's not whining and crying and complaining that things aren't, people won't make him happy. "Oh, if it weren't for this poor centurion, I'd be happy. If I weren't in this prison, I'd be happy." No, he's saying, "You know, I've got a bigger perspective." Now, the Bible teaches that God wants you to use your experiences in four ways. Number one, use them to minister to others. God says, "I want you to use your experiences to minister to others." Now, I don't have to spend a lot of time on this point because we've talked about it so often here. And the key verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that says this, "In our trouble, God has comforted us. And this too is to help you, to show you from our personal experience how God will tenderly comfort you when you undergo these same sufferings. He will give you the strength to endure." The point here is that God takes us through problems, comforts us, helps us, strengthens us in our problems, so then we can comfort, help, and strengthen others when they go through the same thing. God blesses us to be a blessing to others. God helps us so we can help others. And every experience that you've gone through, He wants to use in your life to help somebody else. He says, use your experiences. Don't waste them. Use them. How? By helping somebody else who's about to go through or is going through what you've already been through.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called Shaped to Make a Difference. The second half of today's message is coming up.
Have you ever asked the question, "What does God want me to do with my life?" Of course you have, and you are not alone. In the Shaped to Make a Difference 6-session DVD study kit created by Pastor Rick Warren and taught by Pastor Eric Reese, you'll see how the acrostic SHAPE, which stands for Spiritual Gifts, Heart, Abilities, Personality, and Experiences, reveals how God wired you and why you need to not just know your shape, but use it to do the things God made you to do. Whether you're a younger person or you're in your later years, it's never too soon or too late to discover what God has shaped you to do. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you your very own copy of the 6-session Shaped to Make a Difference DVD and workbook study kit. Availability of this life-changing resource, perfect for solo or small group study, is limited, so contact us right now. You can call 800-600-5004, or you can visit PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. There are only 2 days left to get this powerful resource, so don't wait. Now, let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
God blesses us to be a blessing to others. God helps us so we can help others. And every experience that you've gone through, He wants to use in your life to help somebody else. He says, use your experiences. Don't waste them. Use them. How? By helping somebody else who's about to go through or is going through what you've already been through. Who can better help someone going through cancer than somebody who's been through cancer? Who can help somebody dealing with an addiction to pornography or medicines or drugs or a million other things than somebody who's been addicted to pornography or drugs or a million other things? Who can better help someone deal with the pain of a divorce than someone who's been there, know what it's like? Who can help someone deal with the problem of rejection and adultery than somebody who experienced the problem of rejection and adultery? Who can better help the parents of a special need child than parents who had a special need child? And who could better help parents who had a kid who went off the deep end than somebody whose son or daughter went off the deep end? Who can better help someone in the loss of a loved one than someone who says, I just lost my loved one last year? And who could better help somebody with AIDS than someone who's got AIDS? God never wastes the hurt. I've said that 1,000 times in this church. He never wastes the hurt, and he doesn't want you to waste your hurts. He wants to use them to benefit and bless other people. And the thing that you're most embarrassed about, that you most regret, that injustice, that prejudice, that hurt, that wound, that sin, that mistake, the thing you'd like to keep in the closet and would say, you know, that's over, I'm not going to think about it, that's not my life anymore, that very thing can become your greatest ministry. You always help people more through your weaknesses than your strengths. When you come and you try to help somebody with your strengths, they're going, well, whoop-de-doo, you're just good at it, big deal. You're talented there, so what? I'll never be like you. But when you come and you say, you know what? Been there, done that. I remember how embarrassed, how shocked, how afraid I felt with that bankruptcy or that situation. And then you begin to help other people with it. Who could better help someone who's been raped than somebody who went through a rape? Nobody else could even understand what that's like. An abuse, a rape, an incest, or anything else. You know what? If you don't use your experience, it's wasted. All you get out of it is pain. That's not what God wants you to get out of it. Where was God when that happened? He was grieving too. And he could have taken away the free will of every one of us, but that would have made us not human. We would have been puppets. And there's a lot of things that happen on this planet that God hates. He hates it. He hates evil. And he weeps. But if you just refuse to deal with it and let God use it and bring good out of it, all you get out of it is pain. And God says, oh no, don't waste your hurt. Don't waste your hurt. Embrace your experiences, extract the lessons, and use them to help others. Employ them to help others by ministering, first of all, out of the very things that you think you'd like to forget. Now, the second way God wants you to use your experiences is use them to motivate others. You minister to people in their pain. You motivate others when they're discouraged, when they're down. And your experiences can be inspirational to many people because you have been through things and been through places that they have not yet gone through, and you can motivate them. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and help one another. That means we're to encourage, we're to build up, we're to motivate, we're to inspire. Now, how do you do that? Well, you can do it three ways. You can help people, give people hope. You can help people overcome their fears, and you can help people break down barriers. First, you need to give people hope. And when you give people hope, when you show it can be done, you show that you've been through it, and they'll be able to get through it too in the same way. That you just show it can be done. When you give people hope, when you help them take away their fears. It's kind of like riding a roller coaster. If you go up to Six Flags or Magic Mountain, you've never been on one of these big roller coaster rides, and you're kind of thinking, is this a smart decision? And the person in front of you turns around and goes, this is a great ride. I just have been on it 5 times. And you're going, okay, I'm going to live. They're doing it 5 times. It's got to be okay. Having someone already gone through it is an inspiration. It's motivational. How many of you mothers, when you were in your first pregnancy and then you gave birth to your first child, felt scared to death, incompetent, unprepared, inadequate, and I don't know what, this baby is crying and I can't make it stop? And how grateful you were for somebody who comes along and says, look, babies cry, it's okay. And it's okay to let them cry. And you can't get them always to stop crying immediately. And this is normal. And all of the fears that you are having, they're normal. You help people break through barriers when you motivate them with your own experience. When Roger Bannister was the first guy to break the 4-minute mile running, and up to that time, everybody said, it's humanly impossible. No human being can run that fast or ever will run. It's an impossible barrier. It's like the sound, breaking the sound barrier and things like that. And yet, within about 12 months after Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile record, about a dozen other guys had done it. All of a sudden, it was like, okay, it can be done. And then everybody thought, well, it can be done. I just want to be the next one to do it. It's like climbing Mount Everest. You have had experiences in your life that could be barrier-busting, inspirational, motivating to other people if you're willing to share it. This is when you speak from personal experience. When you speak from personal experience, it's always more important than it is just teaching. The most powerful way to say anything is the most personal way to say it. That's why in advertisement, it's like, I tried Tide, you ought to try it too. Okay, that always has more power. When I stand and speak, some critic, some cynic, some seeker comes in here and goes, oh, he's the paid salesman. They hear him, he's the satisfied customer. Now, who's got more credibility? Well, for the skeptic, the satisfied customer. And so you have experiences in your life that God wants to use, not just to minister to others when they're down, but also to motivate others to get them up. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. For your sake, my friends, I have applied all of this to Apollos and myself, personal application, using the two of us as examples so that you may learn. Whenever I teach a series on marriage, I always go back and talk about all the marriage problems that Kay and I have had. Why? Because it has the credibility of reality. And people go, oh, okay, well, they don't have a perfect marriage. We don't either, but they've lasted 31 years. Maybe we can too. Perfection never helps anybody, friends, except when it's Jesus. The rest of the time, it's normal role models that make mistakes. The third way that God wants you to use your experiences is to use them to model for others. Not just minister and not just motivate, but actually model for others. Dear brothers, Philippians 3:17, dear brothers, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Now notice Paul says, follow my example. He says, I'm going to be a model. Now we know Jesus is the only perfect model, but you can learn from imperfect models too. In fact, I looked up the word model in the dictionary this week. A model is a smaller representation of the real thing. Model car, model plane, a smaller representation of the real thing. This week, some company sent me a model of Ronald Reagan. It's a Ronald Reagan talking doll. And they make these presidential dolls that talk. Like, listen to this.
I have only one thing to say to the tax increasers. Go ahead, make my day.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. Now, here's the funny thing. They sent this to me because this week they're making a Pastor Rick doll. Now I'm going, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's no, I'm just wondering what it's going to look like, because there's no way I'm giving him my body measurements. I'm going to recommend Fabio as my body double. You know? I mean, imagine, what would a Pastor Rick Dahl say? You are not an accident. All leaders are learners, you know. Anyway, I will say this, that if they do make a Pastor Rick Dahl, when Barbie sees it, it's curtains for Ken. I'm sorry. It's over. It's just, he's at it. Poindexter, take a hike, man. Okay. Now, I do think that actually this Ronald Reagan doll, this prototype model, is actually a prototype of me, because I notice he has no socks on. So, so anyway, a smaller representation of the real thing. That's a model. Now, God wants you to be a model. In fact, that's what the word Christian means. Little Christ, a smaller representation of the real thing. You're never going to be perfect. You are flawed, imperfect, smaller model. But God says, I want you to be a Christian, a Christian, a little Christ. I want little models of Jesus all over the world. Are we imperfect? Yes. Do we blow it? Yes. Are we poor, small, cheap imitations of the real thing? Yes. But he says, I want you to be a model. I want you to be a little Christ at work. I want you to be a little Christ at school. I want you to be a little Christ in your neighborhood, with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend, with the guys when you're going on a trip. Be a little Christ. I want you to be a model. Now, Paul knew, the Apostle Paul knew, that we all need models and that we follow by example. In Philippians 3, let me read it again. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. That sounds pretty arrogant, pretty audacious when he says, I want you to follow me. Paul just understands human nature. It is human nature to imitate. In fact, practically everything you learned in the first 5 years of life, you learned by imitation. It's how you learn. There's nothing wrong with imitation. That's how you learn. You go, oh, you say it like this. Oh, you walk like that. Oh, and you learn by imitation. Now, frankly, I don't mind people imitating you, or me for that matter. At least we're making an effort.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called Shaped to Make a Difference. If you'd like an audio copy of today's message or the entire series, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. There's also a ton of great resources, so visit PastorRick.com today. Have you ever asked the question, what does God want me to do with my life? Of course you have, and you're not alone. In the Shape to Make a Difference 6-session DVD study kit, created by Pastor Rick Warren and taught by Pastor Eric Ries, you'll see that the acrostic SHAPE, which stands for spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences, reveals how God wired you and why you need to not just know your shape, but use it to do the things God made you to do. Whether you're a younger person or you're in your later years, it's never too soon or too late to discover what God has shaped you to do. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you your very own copy of the Shaped to Make a Difference 6-session DVD and workbook study kit. Availability of this life-changing resource, perfect for solo or small group study, is limited. So contact us right now. There are only 2 days left to get this powerful resource, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
When you're faced with unpleasant people, you know the best thing to do? Just love them. Don't try to fix them, okay? Don't try to fix them. Just love them. And let God do the work of changing their heart. If you're not God, trust Him to change them. And then watch for how He helps you grow spiritually in the meantime. Thanks for listening today. And join me again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.